Next two Sundays, yeah. Next two, okay, through the 4th. Through the 4th. Not today. Can't sign up today? Okay, can't sign up today.
Well, you can.
Amen.
And let's see. The discipleship U, the open house is today, so all the class leaders will be out on the concourse. You can choose the class. And then the night of worship is tonight, performed by our adult choir. And let's see. Anybody do your spiritual gift assessment and you'd like to share your scores with us? Anybody do your spiritual gift assessment?
I looked at it, brother, and I think mine.
Okay, looking at it doesn't count.
Okay, thank you.
Betty did hers. Betty, what's your score?
I don't remember the exact score, but teaching and serving.
Teaching and serving. Very good. Very good. All right, anybody else? Remember now, if you don't like your results, take it up with the Holy Spirit. Let me know how that works out. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this table of men over here thought I was kidding, but I'm going to give you a test. All right? I'm going to give you a test. It's not your spiritual gifts test. This is a test. And it's open book. Remember those? Open book. Open book. In fact, you can even cheat off your neighbor. All right? You can even cheat off your neighbor. All right, are you ready? Look at your outline. Number one, only blank have spiritual gifts.
Believers,
Christians. If you said one of those two words, you got it right. Believers or Christians. How many of y'all got that one right? Yeah, okay. All right. Number two, every Christian has at least
one
gift. Great. All right. Number three, no one receives
all
the gifts. Great. Number four. In fact, you know, if you had all the gifts, we wouldn't need anybody else, would we? Right?
We wouldn't.
Yeah. You see, God wants us to depend on each other. That's what we're going to talk about today. All right. Number four. No single gift is given to
everyone.
Very good. We need a variety, you see.
What about grace?
Isn't
that one that's given to everybody?
Grace is given to every believer. It's not a spiritual gift. Not a spiritual gift, though. All right. It is a gift of grace. It's not a spiritual gift. Spiritual gift is a divine enablement which allows you to do the work of ministry in a supernatural way. All right. Where am I?
Five.
You can't earn. You can't earn or work for a spiritual gift. That's a contradiction, right? A gift is a gift, right?
I put ignore.
That's not right. No. You can't earn or work for a spiritual gift.
Because you can't ignore it.
You can't ignore your spiritual gift. Very good, Patricia. Patricia goes to the head of the class.
Dr. Jones.
Yes, sir.
You're functioning that gift sometime and not even aware you're doing it.
Function your gift and not even be aware you're doing it. That's right. For example, if you visit the hospital, if you visit somebody sick in the hospital, you may not think you have the mercy gift, but while you're there, you're doing merciful acts of kindness. All right. Number six, the Holy Spirit decides what gifts I get. Good. Number seven, the gifts I'm given are. Yeah, I like that. I can't spell that one, so I put permanent. Okay, permanent. Okay. The gifts you're given, they last forever, in other words, all right? Number eight, I am to?
Use.
Yeah, use will work, okay? I have develop. Yeah. Yeah, exercise, that'll work too. I'll give you credit for that one, okay? Yeah. But now, sometimes, as I said last week, sometimes your gifts are given in seed form. You have to plant the gift. You have to water it. You have to cultivate it. You have to grow it. And teaching is a good example of that. You know, if you have the teaching gift, it doesn't necessarily mean you can go out and start teaching. You have to cultivate, you have to work and develop that gift. All right. What's next? Nine. Okay. It is a sin to ignore. Yeah, I have waste. Ignore waste. That'll work. Yeah, it's a sin to waste the gifts God gave me. And number 10, using my gifts glorifies God and grows me. Yeah, it grows me. Yeah, it glorifies God and grows yourself. Me, first person there. All right, so we're going to continue to look at discovering the nature and purpose of spiritual gifts. And Paul uses the analogy of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to emphasize the importance of every member. Now, if an insignificant part of your body is taken away, the whole body becomes less effective. And I think I told you this a few weeks ago. I got up in the middle of the night to get some water, and I know where my furniture is, right? But my little toe intersected with the bedpost. Okay? And after a few praise the Lords, you know, and other hallelujahs, I limped to the bathroom and turned the light on. And my little toe began to turn the most beautiful colors of the rainbow that you can imagine. And I'm thinking, it's just a little toe. It's insignificant, you know. It's very difficult to walk when your toe hurts, okay? And my brain is sending signals, you've got to do something about this little toe, all right? So just as the little toe is maybe you think is insignificant, it's very important to the body of Christ, all right? Now, hey, Betty, would you give Tony the answers to the test that we had there, okay? So you shouldn't look down on someone in the church who you may think is insignificant. You shouldn't be jealous over other people's gifts. You shouldn't be jealous if someone's gift is always in the spotlight, because your gift is not. Instead, we use the gifts that God's given us to encourage and build up the body of Christ. All right, now at your table, I want you to discuss this question. What functions in the church do you feel are most important and why? Ready, go. What functions do you feel like are most important in the church and why? Functions or roles or jobs in the church do you feel are most important? Okay, what say you? No, let's not go with all. Okay. Let's not go with the answer all. Okay. What? Sunday school. Okay. Why is Sunday school important? Teaching builds character. Study the Word of God. All right. What functions of the church are most important? Preaching and teaching, why?
My mother just said donuts, so I don't think that.
Hold on. Why is preaching and teaching, Charles? All right. Teach the word to believers and unbelievers. Donuts. Okay, so I'm going to go with the gift of hospitality. You're saying the gift of hospitality is most important in the church, okay?
Administration, because we wouldn't have lots.
Administration is important because somebody needs to organize all of this stuff, right?
Praying.
Why is prayer important? Why is prayer important in the church?
Talking with God.
Yeah. What did the old preacher say? We can only move as far as we are on our knees. Music. Why is music important? Much ministry is done through.
I have, as a singer, been ministered to myself by our own music several years later.
music is for the soul. You know. And by the way, Lynn, thank you for singing the third verse of the hymn.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the third verse in a Baptist hymn is like the girl that never gets asked out
that
today.
Right. Exactly. My wife said.
Yeah.
We do that.
Yeah.
And I need to do it more. You know?
Yeah. It always bothered me as a little boy, you know, the first, the second, and the last. I'm going, well, there's three. What about number three? You know? And you think about it, nobody ever memorized number three because we never sung it. Okay. Now, Lynn, Yvonne is correct. All the functions are important, right? All the functions are important. But you notice that the first answer was Sunday school, right? Notice the first answer was Sunday school, all right? And then preaching was given. And we tend to focus on the gifts that are more visible. Then we heard about prayer, you know? And thankfully, someone mentioned hospitality, you know, in the back. You know? But think about people with the spiritual gift of giving, okay? We don't necessarily know who those people are, right? When the offering is taken up, people with the spiritual gift of giving don't stand up and wave their envelope in the air and say, oh, well, I'm glad we're taking up the offering because the church certainly can't be without my offering this week, right? They don't make a big to-do about that, you see. So all the gifts are important. All right, number one, the Apostle Paul compares the body of Christ, the church, to a human body. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So Paul begins by talking about the body being a unit of many parts. So he followed the first part of 1 Corinthians 12 with the diversity of the many gifts given by the Holy Spirit by providing an analogy or an illustration of the human body. That they accept one another, all of our body parts accept one another as being part of one body. Just as the body has many parts, so the church is made up of people with different gifts. Paul explained that while not everybody has the same gift, there's still one body, and that is the body of Christ. So we're looking at the church comparing the church to our human body. Now each part of our human body has a specific function, and each part of our human body has a necessary function to allow this human body to be healthy. Now, Christians have to avoid two common errors or mistakes. The first one is being proud of the ability that you have. And being proud of the ability that you have. And music is a good visual illustration. What is the difference in someone using their talent, their ability of worship, and leading the body of Christ into worship versus someone that's just a very good singer? Remember, the test is, does it build up the church, and does it glorify God? That's the test of a spiritual gift. So Christians have to avoid being proud of their abilities. Number two, the second mistake is thinking that you have nothing to offer. Thinking that you have nothing to offer. Because if you're a Christian, you have at least how many gifts? You have at least one gift. If you're a Christian, you have at least one gift. So we don't need to think that, well, my gift is not important, so I'm not going to use it. So instead of comparing ourselves to one another, we need to work together to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, look at that. He says, "For we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greek, slave or free, we're all given the one Spirit to drink." And see, the thing that gives Christians unity is the Holy Spirit. That's what unites us. So as believers, we live out the diversity through our gifts. We must never forget the basic fact that, hey, we were all baptized the same way. We're baptized into the body of Christ. Because we received the gift of the Holy Spirit at the moment of our conversion. Verse 14. "Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body." So Paul goes on to show the diversity of the body by talking about our human body. Your human body does not consist of one member, but many. And for our body to function, this diversity in our human body is essential. It is very necessary. You can't separate a member of your body without harming the body. I mean, the foot can't just decide one day to leave the body on its own and not function as the foot. Can it? The same way a believer can't or should not remove their spiritual gift from the body of Christ. When you remove your spiritual gift from the body of Christ, you are in effect saying, "I'm not a part of the body." And if you don't have a particular gift, doesn't mean that you're any less part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. So, comparing yourselves to one another is not what God wants us to do. So, here's a metaphor that all gifts, even though they're different, are given by the same Spirit to be utilized for the body of Christ, the church, to function well. Verse 16, "And if the ear would say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body." Now, I kind of think off the wall sometimes. Okay? I kind of think out of the box. Okay? Now imagine if your ear was able to speak. Okay? And one day you wake up and your ear says, "You know, I really want to be the eye. I really want to be the eye." I mean, this is what Paul is saying here. The ear can't say that it wants to be anything other than what God intended it to be. The same application is for us. We can't be anything other than what God created us to be. And if you're struggling with the way God made you, read Psalm 139. It's a great chapter on self-esteem. Okay? It's a great chapter that reminds us that God, even before we were formed in our mother's womb, was knitting us together, just as He wanted us to be. And from a practical standpoint, the ear can no more be changed into an eye than any of us can be given a gift that God didn't intend for us to have. Instead, we should discover the gift. I can't say this too many times. If you haven't discovered your gift, don't be scared to discover your gift. Take the test. You know, it might give you some great relief to find out what your gift is. Okay, it might scare the stew out of you at the same time. Okay. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Every spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit is vital to the functioning, the healthy function of the body of Christ. If every body part wanted to be an eye, Paul is saying, we may see very well. We may not hear very well. Okay. And remember, James, the book of James, talks about the tongue. You know, we don't like to read James, okay, because of all this stuff about the tongue. Okay. But I heard an old preacher say that's why we have two ears and one tongue. That's right. Verse 18. But God made our bodies with many parts, and He's put each part just where He wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. So as God created the human body to function with many parts working together, so does the body of Christ. Many parts all functioning together toward one common goal. And the church needs all of these gifts to work in harmony with one another. So the picture of a body with only one part illustrates the craziness of a church with everybody trying to have the same gift. If everybody in the church was striving to have the same gift, it wouldn't be a body at all. It wouldn't be able to function. And, you know, let's use the gift of teaching. If every one of you had the gift of teaching, there would be a stampede up here because you have something to say. And I said this last week. You know, people who sit in a class with the spiritual gift of teaching are always sitting there thinking, well, I would have said it differently, or, you know, I would have done it this way, you know. Preachers who go to preaching conferences are miserable listening to other preachers because they have a message to say. All right, now at your table, discuss this question. What might make members of our church feel self-sufficient or superior? Ready, go. What might make some members of our church feel self-sufficient or superior? Okay, what say you? What might make some people in our church feel self-sufficient or superior? Position. You know, they have a certain position in the church that might make them feel self-sufficient or superior. Megachurch, all right? Expand that. If you're part of a larger church as opposed to a smaller church, okay. Having Dr. Jefferson as your pastor.
John, we were thinking, you know, when Mary and I first came to visit here, we were thinking, well, that church doesn't really need us. They got everybody. We'll just try to find another church where we can serve. So I don't know if that really fits into what you're thinking, but in other words, you know, we kind of had this idea that maybe we wouldn't fit in because they've got everything.
Maybe the size of the church, you feel like, well, they don't need me. They have everything going for them, You know, they have everything going, and so they obviously couldn't use my gift. Right? Now, anybody else? Yes?
Money.
Money? Yeah, money. Okay. Money might make members feel self-sufficient or superior to one another.
The sanctuary,
the bigness of the sanctuary. How long they've been in the church? Yeah, the tenure. Yeah.
As a charter member.
Charter member. Yeah. Charter members. Now, I've been in a lot of churches. I've been in churches where nobody even spoke to you.
Yes.
Okay? All right? In fact, I want you to picture this church with me. All right? You have pews, church building. Church building, let me clarify that. Okay, you have pews and you have two aisles. Get the picture? All right? And the pastor and the deacons come out of the door by the organ. You know where the organ... Y'all remember the organ, right?
Yeah.
The organ. Okay. The pastor and the deacons come out almost military style, and the deacons sit on the front row. All right? When it's time for the offering, the deacons... on each end, one deacon on each end, goes and gets the plate, passes the plates out to the other deacons. Then after the prayer, deacons march down the aisle, pass out the plate. They bring the offering back after it's collected. Same in reverse, deacon on the end collects the plates, puts it on the table, and then the deacons sit down and the pastor preaches. Got the picture? One of those deacons had a heart attack right in the middle of the service. Okay? True story. Now, obviously, the pastor had to stop his sermon. They're bringing the EMTs down the aisle, you know. And do you know the EMTs had to check 8 deacons before they found the dead one? So you can... Now that part's not true. You can be in a church that looks very healthy and it be as dead as a doorknob. Okay? And so some people may feel like that... Some Christians may feel like, well, because I'm in the church... The church is great, the church is alive in all of this. And the church isn't doing anything. The church is not using its gifts, you see. So appearance is not everything. Amen. Appearance is not everything. That's why God looks at the heart. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Not only should each individual part realize its importance, but all the other parts would realize their interdependence as well. You know, when you and I were an infant, we were totally dependent on our parents. I mean, think about a baby. Baby has to be fed and clothed and bathed and all this. But as that child grows older, the child becomes more independent. Particularly if you have daughters. You know, the daughter chooses what they're going to wear to school that day. The church really needs interdependent believers. That means we relate to one another. Verse 22. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Now, these weaker members of the body are those that appear to be less important to the body. Apply this to spiritual gifts. There's some gifts that are not visible. We don't see them. People that, you know, the men that go to the prayer tower, we don't really know who those men are every Sunday. But every Sunday there are men praying for the service. Okay? So think about the gifts that we never see, that are never seen. But if every gift is being used to glorify God and build up the church, they're actually indispensable to the body of Christ. Dr. Jeffers will admit he preaches better when people are praying for him. He admits that. He admits that. I mean, Dr. Jeffers is very versed. He's very eloquent. And he prepares and studies. But Dr. Jeffers would not be as effective as he is today if the greeters weren't doing their job. See, if the people in the nursery weren't doing their job. Every place is important. So the church, just as the church needs visible members, it needs invisible members as well.
I want to share this blessing. Being in this church 100 years, how wonderful our church is to widows.
Yes.
They make us feel wanted and needed and not so lonely.
Yes, they did. They do. They really do. This is a great church. Verse 23. Yes, yes. Thank you. The church ministers to the widows.
Yes.
They minister to the widows. Yes. Very good. Thank you. Verse 23. The parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen, while other parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. Now, Paul here is writing about the sexual parts that we keep covered up. Okay. The point of this verse is that appearances are deceiving. The parts of the body are necessary that we cover up, but we don't wear them out and we don't show them in public. Verse 25. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other equally. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. So this harmony happens when all the members, the weak and the strong, the flamboyant and the quiet, the behind the scenes and the upfront ones, are all using their gifts. They all appreciate one another, and they care for one another. And this caring is demonstrated as we share joys. Care is demonstrated as we share sorrows. And as with our physical body, when one part of our physical body is hurting, every part is hurting. Had a headache recently?
Yeah.
You know, when your head aches, your whole body aches. At least mine does. Okay. So when one part of our human body suffers, all the parts of the body are suffering with it. So just like it is with the church, all the parts work together. Now think about this, and this actually happens to some people. What if one morning you wake up and your kidney decides to stop working? That happens to some people, right? You know, there's... And the kidney starts getting into an argument with the other organs in your body. You know, I'm tired of cleaning up around here all the time. You know, somebody else is going to have to do this for me. Well, you know, unfortunately, there's no other organ in our body that does the work of the kidney. Yeah. But what if the brain spoke up and said, you know, I'm really the most important part of the body because I tell all the other parts how to function. Well, people with brain injuries can tell you how important not having a functioning brain is. And then the heart speaks up and says, well, you know, I'm the most important. Because if I shut down, everything shuts down. The same is true with you. If you all of a sudden one day decide, well, you know, I just don't feel like serving anymore. Somebody else is going to have to do it. You ever had a temporary employee come into your place of work? Yeah. You know, they're very good people, but the temporary never does the work exactly like the permanent employee. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, there's just some things, if we're honest, that we're lousy at doing. Right? right? We're just lousy at it. Growing up, my mother washed the dishes, my brother rinsed them, and I dried them off. Okay? That's before you had the electronic dishwasher. Being the youngest brother, that was my job. I never got to wash the dishes. You know? I never got to rinse the dishes off. I always got to dry the dishes off and put them away. Now, what if I walked into my mother one day and said, you know, I'm tired of always drying the dishes and putting them up. What do you think my mother would say? Tough. Right? Tough. Somebody's got to dry the dishes and put them away. You're part of the, you're a member of the family, and that's your job. Okay? Now, if I decided one day that I just didn't want to be a member of my family, could I do that?
Not really.
Not really. I mean, I could run away from home, right? I could run away from home and say, I don't want to be part of the family. But whatever I, there's nothing that I could do to disconnect me or separate me from my own family. Number two, all Christ followers should discover how they can serve the church. Verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. So all believers, we've hammered this over probably too many times. All believers are part of Christ's body. And every believer has got a necessary and separate function in that body. No believer is unimportant. Notice in verse 28, though, that Paul begins to rank some of the gifts. You see that? All right. Now, the order of these gifts in this verse is very important. Now, who are these first three people? Who are these first three people he lists here? Apostles, prophets, and teachers. Now, why do you think Paul lists those first? Why does he list those first?
Priority of the Word of God.
The priority of the Word of God. Exactly right. Exactly right. Now, does this make these three more important than everybody else?
No.
No. It doesn't lessen the significance of anybody else, nor raise the importance of those gifts. Now, who are these apostles? I'm going to tell you. These are the 11, minus Judas. Okay, plus anybody else that was called an apostle. Paul was called an apostle. Matthias, Barnabas, Jesus' brother James, Silas. And the qualification seems to be that this person, these individuals, saw Christ and actually went out and preached the gospel. So if you have, if you're an apostle, those seem to be the qualifications. Notice that he also appointed prophets. Now, these people have special gift to minister God's word to his people. So they encourage, they exhort, they strengthen God's people. Third, he says teachers. Now, teachers are the ones that probably were teaching in the local churches. You have to remember that people in this day didn't have the Bible like we have it today. So the importance of teachers was necessary because they had to hear the word. Notice that we have the gift of apostleship, we have the gift of prophecy, we have the gift of teaching, we have the gift of miracles, we have the gift of healing, we have the gift of helps. You see that? Those are able to help others. You have the gift of helps or serving. You see an unmet need, you want to meet it. Gifts of administration, those people make the organization function efficiently. Those of speaking in different kinds of tongues. Notice which gift is listed last. Tongues. Speaking in tongues. You see that? You see that's listed last. That's because the church in Corinth had a problem with speaking in tongues. And, you know, there are still some denominations today, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not a Christian. Okay? And the reason he listed that last is because that was causing great division in the church. And what has he been hammering along all these other verses that we've been reading? Harmony, unity, working together, using your gifts to build up the body of Christ. So he placed this gift last because he considered it unimportant when compared to the other gifts. Then he begins to ask rhetorically in verse 29, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? What's the answer?
No.
So he's asking this rhetorically. Not everybody in the church falls into one of these categories. And he goes back again. If everybody had the same gift, think about all the other ministries that would get neglected. So not all were prophets, not all were teachers, not all were called or enlisted by God for this special office. Not everybody in the church has the same gift, nor can everybody claim to have all the gifts. But we must see ourselves just as you may have a garden with individual plants, but it's one garden. And you cultivate the entire garden at one time. And again, this list of gifts is representative. It's not necessarily exhaustive. So we should be thankful for each other. We should be thankful for the gifts God has given us that are completely different. And you see, your strength and weaknesses balance one another. Enoch.
What is the difference between a gift and a talent?
Okay. The question is, what's the difference between a gift and a talent? Okay, gifts are given by who? Holy Spirit. All right. Who gives us talents? Yeah, same answer, right? All right. Now, anybody in here left-handed? All right. So this is your left. See how it performs an L? Yeah. That's how I tell. That's my left hand. Okay. All right. All right, so not many people are left-handed. They raise their hand. All right, so I guess the rest of us are right-handed. All right. Now, you ever seen a switch hitter in baseball? Yeah. All right. How do you think that switch hitter is? Think he's right-handed or left-handed? He would probably tell you that he's better throwing the ball with one hand than he is the other, though.
Yeah.
All right? Would probably tell you that. Now, if I were to throw, I'm right-handed, so if I were to throw a ball with my left hand, you would obviously know I'm not left-handed. Okay? But someone develops the talents that they give them. The difference between a gift and a talent is the talent being used to glorify God and honor the church. Yeah, it can be. You have talents and abilities, probably 600 talents and abilities. You're probably not aware of that. Okay. My two-year-old does this with me. Can you roll your tongue? Try it. Can you roll your tongue? Can you curl your tongue? You know, make it in a U? Like that? Yeah. That's an ability. Yeah. You know? Can you wiggle your ears?
Yeah.
Everybody can.
No.
your muscles up to 8 inches from the belt.
So they're talents that are learned. They're talents that are developed. No. But a spiritual gift is a divine enablement given to believers. Okay? Good question. Good question. Verse 31. And in any event, you should desire the most helpful gifts. First, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. So the most helpful gifts, the greater gifts, some of your translation says it that way. And too often that verse is interpreted individually. The gift, the individual gift should be the greater gift. But really the emphasis here is on the church as a whole. The church ought to desire the most helpful gifts, so that it can function well. Now, did anybody read 1 Corinthians 13? Yeah, did you read 1 Corinthians 13? Yeah, I ask you to read that. Read it this week, okay? Because he says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So after all of this great discourse on spiritual gifts, look at verse 1 of chapter 13. And now I'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. What he's saying that whole chapter is, if you're using your gift without love, you're just making noise. You're just making noise. So read 1 Corinthians 13 in the context of ministry, not marriage. And Paul wanted the Corinthians to get their eye on the ball, to use a baseball term here, to get it on the ball. Instead of focusing on one particular gift, you need to see the value in all of gift, in all of the gifts. All right. Any other questions? Can a gift be taken away? I don't think so. That's my belief. I don't believe it. I believe the gift is permanent. Now, can your gift change positions? Yes. Your gift can change positions. And again, the mercy gift is such a great gift here. You know, you may not have the gift of mercy, but we are amazed when we're put in a situation where we have to practice the gift of mercy, how merciful we can be. Tony?
I think we need to stress that things like gift of mercy, gift of healing, gift of giving, everyone is supposed to show mercy. Everyone is supposed to give of their money to the Lord. But those aren't necessarily maybe gifts. I think the gift of giving would be someone who has a lot of income and they give off a whole lot of their income.
Right. Spiritual gift.